Major fires continue to burn across Australia, and the effects are seen even nations away. As the Washington Post reports, flames saw a dramatic escalation in the past day alone as temperatures and winds keep fire danger at record highs. Joining us with more on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline is Matthew Cappucci, a meteorologist with the Washington Post, who is covering the fires. Thanks for joining us today, Matt. Conditions, are they expected to continue right on through the weekend like this?
Yeah, it's looking pretty bad right now. We have a cold front coming in, and yes, that'll cool things down just a little bit. But ahead of the front, we're seeing winds gusting upwards of 30 miles per hour at times. Now, that alone is bad because it's changing fire activity. At the same time, cold air at the mid-level of the atmosphere is allowing these fires to actually trigger their own thunderstorms. They call those pyrocumulonimbus clouds. But the storms don't often produce rain. Instead, they produce more lightning, which can trigger even more fires than are already going on right now.
All right, so that's dry lightning conditions. And can you give us, can you give our listeners kind of a feel of the scope of these fires and what we're talking about? This is huge landmass.
This is unbelievable. You know, last year in California, about 2 million acres burned, and that was horrible. This, we're already up to about 10 to almost 11 million so far, and this event is still going on. We're just about midway through fire season now. The peak of it is coming up soon in Australia, and so conditions are going from bad to even worse, and really there's no end in sight. We just saw their driest year on record, coincident with their warmest year on record, and those are the conditions taking us into 2020. It's summer there right now, so we have several months more to be watching these events unfold.
Yeah, you wrote the spate of extreme fires demonstrates how natural variability can combine with human-caused climate change to lead to disaster. Really, it's a lose-lose situation here.
It is. And one thing that's tough is we can't attribute anything fully to climate change, but we can say this event would likely not have been nearly as severe or in some cases even concerned in the first place without climate change. The reason being, the climate there has warmed about 3 or 4 degrees in just the past century. So that means now the air can take so much more water out of plants, leaving more dry fuels exposed. Now, we've seen a significant increase in temperature in Australia thanks to climate change. Not much change in rainfall patterns. So that means the rainfall is likely random. But when you have a dry year like this, line up with human-caused warming, it's kind of the worst of both worlds, and that's what's causing this disastrous fire weather there.
All right. Talk a little bit about how the smoke is affecting nearby countries and really just kind of drifting starting around the globe.
Yeah. So the other day when I wrote the article, the worst air quality anywhere in the world was in Omeo, Australia, with an air quality index of over 3,000. For comparison, anything over 100 is considered unhealthy for people to be outside. So at least 30 times the healthy limit there in Australia. Smoke so thick it turned day to night in many areas. And now that's wafting with the jet stream all the way over to places like New Zealand, causing it to look kind of weird there. Brown skies, amber sunrises, amber sunsets. At the same time, too, a lot of that smoky ash is being deposited onto glaciers, onto snow in the higher elevations, and that absorbs more heat, can increase climate change even more quickly. It's a positive feedback mechanism. And so, yes, it's having an impact on the weather, but is also causing climate change to accelerate.